As we pick up in part six of our series entitled, When We Move to Our Heavenly Home, stages one and two of our eternal journey are over in our lesson, and it is time to begin stage three. Now, if you will remember, at the beginning of this series, I stated that our eternal future would have three stages, or we might call them three legs. Stage one will be the move from our earthly body when our body, soul, and spirit separate. Stage two will be the move from earth to heaven, and it also includes all the things that we do while we are in heaven once we arrive. And of course, the culmination of what happens in heaven, it was the last thing we talked about in our last part, where it is the time for the marriage ceremony of the Lord to His bride, the church. Well, we're part of the church, and so we will be the bride of the Lord, and once the marriage ceremony is complete, the scripture will tell us that we now have become the wife. That marriage ceremony, if it follows the Jewish tradition, which a Jewish marriage took 1 week in the chamber with the groom and the bride, or 7 days, it will take 7 earthly years to complete in heaven. Now, the reason for this switch from 7 days to 7 years for the Lord's marriage ceremony all ties back into the snatching away of the church for the wedding, which will occur just prior to the beginning of the fulfillment of Daniel's 70-week prophecy, that 70th week corresponds to the 7 years of Israel's tribulation here on earth. There is going to be a pause. All right, when that pause occurs, Daniel tells us that it's the time of the Gentiles, or the presentation of the gospel message to the Gentile world, not just to the Jews anymore, but now directly to the Gentile world, and it would take place between the 69th year and the 70th year. Now, we'll cover that another time in another lesson. So the scriptures do not tell us exactly how long this time of the Gentiles will take to occur, but it will be long enough to establish the church with multitudes upon multitudes of people and gather members of the church as the bride of Christ. Therefore, just before the 70th year of Daniel's vision occurs, the whole bride of Christ will gather with the Lord in His marital chamber during that time of Israel's tribulation here on earth. Now, during that time in the marital chamber, the judgment seat of Christ will occur with the Lord giving gifts to all the members of the bride and assignments for our work with the Lord for the next 1,000 years. Okay, I hope you followed that. Okay. In other words, we're going to go in and we're going to have this judgment seat of Christ, and it's a time of giving. Just as in the marital nights that happen with a new married couple where they give and take to each other, so the Lord will give the bride gifts and assignments for what we are going to do as we begin to enter into stage three. So when the time with the Lord is over, it is time to begin stage three with our eternity, with what I've called in my letter to Kay, the journey from heaven to earth. Yes, our time in heaven, in the great beyond, in the holy city of God the Father, is going to come to a close and to an end, and we will leave heaven. We will be returning to earth with the Lord, and we will always be with the Lord, but we will not always be in heaven. When we leave heaven with the Lord, we nor He will ever return to heaven again. Did you catch that? Neither we as the bride nor the Lord will return to what the place where heaven is residing right now. We will never return there, but fret not. In this stage, in stage three, heaven will come down to earth. So let's pick up with that stage with Kay's letter and the Lord's magnificent bride. At the end of the judgment seat time with the Lord, the whole bride will be beautifully adorned with all the gifts from the Lord. Together with His bride, you and I, with the holy band of saints, will exit the chamber where we have been for 7 years during the time of the Lord's giving of gifts. And about this, the Bible says, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." And you see the reference there in Revelation chapter 19. Now, when the Bible says that the bride has made herself ready, it simply means that the marriage with the Lord is complete and the wedding is over. And about this, the Scripture goes on to say this, "Come now, I will show you the bride," and watch this, "the wife of the Lamb." Revelation 21. With the marriage ceremony complete, the magnificent bride has become the wife of the Lamb of God, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now, at that point, we now come to the Lord's magnificent wife. It will then be time for our journey from heaven back to earth is ready to begin. A side note here, all our lives we have heard preachers plead with people to accept Jesus so we can be in heaven for all eternity. Actually, what they should have been saying is, "Don't you want to be with the Lord for all eternity?" That is because once the Lord comes to get us from our bonds of this earth, we will be with Him for all eternity. We will never leave His presence. Wherever He is, there we will be also. That means that we will be with Him when He returns to earth to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords for 1,000 years. Now, just a note at this point in the storyline. The Lord will reign on earth for 1,000 years on earth's time. But for the Lord and for you and me, because we will be there with the Lord and we will come back, we will still be on heaven's time. Therefore, 1,000 years here on earth will be just one day's work for us and the Lord on heaven's time. Now, moving on with Kay's letter. The Lord's magnificent wife, which you and I will be part of, will be the Lord's mighty army, the mighty host of heaven. The Apostle John saw all this in the Revelation and described it in a short, detailed paragraph. I can do no better than to use his words here. "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, are following him on white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Now, we will depart heaven as a mighty army of the Lord, and it will be the mightiest army that has ever been assembled. It will be an army that cannot be defeated. And I want you to notice that our robes will be fine linen, white and clean, but His robe, if you remember what the Scripture said, will be dipped in blood. Notice also that a sword will come from His mouth. The words that come from His mouth are the Word of God. He strikes the nation. We do not do that. He rules with a rod of iron. We do not do that. He treads the winepress of wrath. We do not do that. We have left heaven with Him, our Lord, and we are headed for the earth where we will see the last part of the marriage tradition completed with the marriage supper, or the magnificent supper, as we gather and prepare to depart from the holy city with the Lord for His second coming to earth. An angel standing in the air in front of the sun will screech an invitation for, here's the Scripture, all the birds which fly in the mid-heaven, come assemble for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of commanders and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of those who sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free men and slaves, and small and great. All of the evil people who hate the Lord will have already gathered in the valley of Armageddon, waiting for His arrival. Even though the Bible foretells their fate hundreds and hundreds of years before that day, they will proudly camp in the valley with the intent of defeating the Lord when He arrives. They should know that they will be the meal served at the marriage supper. The birds of the earth are the invited guest who will dine on the magnificent supper for 45 days, according to Daniel in chapter 12, verses 11 through 12. The Old Testament alone contains enough information about the Lord's second coming for the people of the evil nations of the world to know exactly when the Lord will return for His second coming. But for when the church is snatched away, the New Testament sets forth the time clock for the Lord's second coming. But we're not told when the church will be snatched away. But when it happens, the time clock begins and will act as a plan for the evil leaders to make the call to all the world for everyone who hates the Lord to gather in the Valley of Armageddon. This gathering will not happen quickly, folks. It will be carefully planned, and those who hate the Lord will have time to book their flights and arrive in that old promised land in plenty of time to wait and wait in ranks and files to attempt to defeat the Lord upon His arrival. All will be in place for that before we leave heaven with the Lord. Now, all who arrive will think of it as a party. They will have long wanted to rid the world of this Messiah, the supposed King of Kings. It will not take long for the Lord to slay His enemies and win the battle. The countenance on the faces of the evil army in the valley will quickly change when they see the flash of our arrival with the Lord before He, the Lord, pronounces His judgment on them. This leads us back to Kay's letter and the Lord's magnificent arrival. Our departure time from the holy city will be at high noon in Jerusalem time zone here on earth. But on that day, also a day called the Day of the Lord, over the Valley of Armageddon, the scriptures say, the sun will go down at noon, and the Lord will make the earth dark in broad daylight. That's out of the talking about the Day of the Lord in Amos chapter 8, verse 10, and talking about the Day of the Lord in Zechariah chapter 14, verse 6. All of the festivities and joys of the armies gathered in the valley that day will turn bitter as the Lord shouts on His way to the valley. Here's what He shouts. It is done. I am Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Revelation 21:6. Now, I want to pause for just a moment here to include some stops along the way as we travel with the Lord from heaven to earth before we actually reach the Valley of Armageddon, because there are prophecies about that. Most folks think that from heaven to Armageddon is a straight line, but that is not the case. Here is why. Isaiah chapters 41 and 63 tell us that with the speed of light, the Lord will flash from the east and destroy the evil Babylonian area which has fostered hatred against Him and Israel for centuries upon centuries. They will be the first to be destroyed upon His second coming. After destroying the Babylonian area, the Lord will then destroy the rebuilt city of Nineveh in the Assyrian area known today as Mosul. Then, in Habakkuk 3:3-13, the scriptures tell us that the Lord will then destroy all the Edomites on their mountains of Paran in their capital city of Teman, and He will come to so close to them that the Edomite blood will splatter on His already stained garments. Not on ours, but on His. And as we go with Him from Babylon to Nineveh to the Edomite land and then to Armageddon, the Valley of Armageddon, everywhere He goes behind Him, His plagues and pestilence will startle the nations, and the perpetual mountains are going to begin to shatter and collapse. Did you hear that? As we go, the mountains are going to begin to collapse. Mount Everest will begin to collapse. The army in the Valley of Armageddon will surely feel the earth's movement. He will shout, "It is done," as He and His army, that's us, begin to swoop down on the nations in the twinkling of an eye. The beautiful land, which we also know as the Promised Land, in front of us, will become desolate as we pass by. So let's pick back up with my letter to Kay. The Battle of Armageddon is one-sided. Only the Lord speaks, and the victory is won. We will all see it as we ride behind Him on our white horses. The evil army in the valley will not have time to fire one shot. With the word of the Lord spoken as we arrive, the people of the army in the valley will begin to rot while they stand. Zechariah 14:12. Now for our study, I want us to hear the main highlights of the prophecy from Zechariah 14. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations, as when He fights on a day of battle. And it will come about in that day that there will be no light. The luminaries will dwindle. For it will be a unique day which is known to the Lord, neither day nor night. Now this will be the plague which the Lord will strike all the peoples who have gone to war against Jerusalem. Their flesh will rot while they stand on their feet, and their eyes will rot in their sockets, and their tongues will rot in their mouth. And it will come about in that day that a great panic from the Lord will fall on them, and they will seize one another's hand, and the hand of one will be lifted against the hand of another. So also, like this plague, will be the plague on the horse, the mule, the camel, the donkey, and all the cattle that will be in those camps. Zechariah 14, 6 through 15. According to Joel, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, and according to Zechariah, chapter 12 through 14, we will then begin to do our duty according to our assignments given to us in the bridal chamber with the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, a summary of those chapters tells us we will rush on the cities, we will run on the walls throughout the entire world to ensure that all the enemies of the Lord who took the mark of the beast will be destroyed. Great and mighty will be the army of the Lord, the Lord's church, the bride, the wife, in all her glory. Even though we will check the entire world for those with the mark of the beast, I personally do not believe that one person will be found in the world that will have that mark of the beast, because they will all be in the valley of Armageddon, and the Lord will take care of them there in that location, and He will destroy them. With the Lord's attack complete, we return to Kay's letter, where we find that the Lord will bind Satan for 1,000 years. Now, in the deepest abyss, Satan will be thrown. Now, abyss is always down in the deepest part of the water. The Lord will use him again in 1,000 years, but for now, he has been bound up and put in the deepest abyss, in the deepest part of the ocean, under chains and the door shut. But the false beast and the false prophet will be cast into the lake of fire. They will be the first two to experience the lake of fire. They will be there alone for 1,000 years. For everyone else, all who hate the Lord will be dead and residing in torment in Hades. We will see all of this happen before our eyes when we return with the Lord. The battle will be over in short order. The birds will be arriving to dine on the marriage supper in the Valley of Armageddon. The birds will clean the valley of all the bodies of those who stood there to fight against the Lord upon His arrival, as well as all their animals and everything else that is there. And then we will see the most magnificent part of His arrival. The Lord will step down on the earth in the same place from which He left on the Mount of Olives. And upon touching the ground, the mountain will split from the north to the south, and the earth underneath the city of Jerusalem will begin to rise, while all the highest mountains on the earth will continue to sink low. Now you might ask, if the earthquake that split Jerusalem, won't it kill some people? Won't it kill anyone? And the answer is no. If you remember, all of the Israelites and all the Jews who lived in Jerusalem will have fled out of Jerusalem when the beast takes the city of Jerusalem over. But when the beast makes the call to join him in the Valley of Armageddon, all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, all of whom have the mark of the beast to be able to be around in his city at all, will abandon Jerusalem and gather in the valley. Jerusalem will be empty. And when the new mountain reaches its height, the top will be a flat plateau that is 50 miles long and 50 miles wide. In other words, it is 50 miles square. It will be where the Lord reigns for 1,000 years. reading on, "It will not take long that afternoon for Jerusalem to sit on the highest mountain on the earth. Dust will fly everywhere, but at the end of the day, as the sun is setting in the east, the beautiful light will shine forth as the sun makes its regular departure for the day in the west. Sunset, we call it, and night will come in Israel." Zechariah chapter 14, verse 7. "The day will end peacefully, just as if nothing had happened that day at all. But in that valley, the marriage supper meal that will be served for 45 days will have only just begun. Our coming with the Lord, the destruction in the valley, and the changing of earth's topography will take fewer than 6 hours, and the whole world will finally be at peace. Jerusalem will be at peace for the very first time in its history. The world will be at peace for 1,000 years, and we will be there with our job responsibilities to ensure that it does." Revelation 19, 20 through 20 and verse 3. We will be helping as we rush on the cities and run on the walls as the earthquake occurs when the Lord utters His voice and the battle in the valley is over almost before it starts. All over the world, we will be doing our duty to ensure that all those who hate the Lord have been removed. It is now time for us to look at the magnificent kingdom. But that will have to wait until part 7.